Now this morning we're going to complete the small series on listening to preaching. Now so far we have considered what it is we must do before the sermon, highlighting how important preparation is. Last week we saw what we must do during the sermon, seeing the need to be tuned in and teachable, laying aside pride. And today we're going to learn what it is we must do after the sermon. So our text again is James chapter 1. This morning we'll be considering verses 22 through to 25. Now a text I'm sure we all know well, and yet it is one that we all need to be constantly reminded of. So James chapter 1, I'll commence reading at verse 19 and go down to verse 25. Hear the word of the Lord. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. The title for the sermon this morning is After the Sermon, Meditation and Obedience. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have revealed yourself to us. We thank you that we can know you. Father, we do thank you that we possess your word in the English language. We thank you that we are free to read it and to study it. And I do thank you for the opportunity that I have this morning to preach. And Father, I do pray this morning that you would help us to listen intently to the word that you have for us this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning by posing a question. And I'll pre-warn you, it will seem rather obvious. But please don't think I'm insulting your intelligence. Because this simple question is vital for our subject matter this morning. Now the question is, when does the sermon finish? Well, I told you it's pretty simple, but think about it. Now if you were playing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and this was the question, what answer would you give? Oh, the obvious one, and most probably the first answer that springs to mind, is that the sermon finishes when the preacher says amen or closes in prayer. And that seems rather logical. But that answer is incorrect. For it is then for the listener that the hard work really begins. Now, there is still much to do for the one who is truly listening once the preacher has finished speaking. And it is in our responsibilities after the sermon where we often fall short. And this is rather unfortunate, for as important as they are, a proper preparation and a proper reception of the word fail to have any lasting benefit if we are negligent in fulfilling our duties after the preaching. Now, it is of utmost importance that we understand that the sermon is not finished when the preacher stops speaking. It is not then that your duties and obligations as one who wants to listen to sermons well ceases. So, what must we do after the sermon if we are truly listening? Well, let's turn to our text where some light is shed. And I want to consider our text under two very simple headings, they being the instruction and the illustration. So firstly, let's consider the instruction. verse 22, which says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." The instruction before us is rather simple. But don't let the simplicity fool you, for this is not always easy. And it's something that we all often fail to do as well as we ought to. If we are to listen to a sermon properly and get all that God intends for us from it, that we are not to be content with merely hearing what was said, although this is important. Neither are we to be self-satisfied with the knowledge that we have learned. We are not just to be pleased with understanding what was said, but rather we are to do. We are to obey. True listening demands a response. The verb within this verse is a present imperative. So the imperative tells us that this is a command. This is what is expected from us. This is not an optional extra. It's not a matter of Christian liberty, but rather a duty. And the present tense stresses that this is a continuous action. So we are to be continually striving to keep on pushing to be the best doer of the word that we possibly can be. Now this term doer speaks of performing, of obeying. And what's interesting is it's actually a noun, not a verb. And what this tells us is that it's not so much what we are to do, but rather who we are to be. No, Christians are to be doers, not just hearers. This is to characterize you and I as new creatures. We are to respond, we are to apply, we are to obey what it is that has been preached. And yet how often we are happy to hear, but it goes in one ear and out the other without having any lasting effect. Now, this was a problem in the time of the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. And we're told this in Ezekiel 33. If you want to turn over there, you can. But I'm just going to read Ezekiel 33 from verse 30 through to 32. Which says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not." Well, apparently Ezekiel was a very gifted speaker. He obviously spoke eloquently. He was very easy to listen to. It was enjoyable to hear him preach, and all of the people flocked and heard him. It was like music to their ears. Such was the pleasant tone of his voice, and yet they failed to obey. They didn't take it to heart. They didn't respond. It had no effect on them. Now, sure, they probably never missed a sermon, but they failed to practice in their lives what they heard. And I wonder how often you and I are the exact same as ancient Israel. Now, sure, we are faithful in our attendance of preaching, and maybe we even enjoy listening to sermons. We like learning new things, increasing our biblical knowledge, our understanding, and yet we fail to do anything about it. We are a hearer rather than a doer. James, in using these terms, doer and hearer, was referring to an illustration that would have sprung immediately to the minds of the readers of this letter. The Greek culture placed a very high emphasis on learning. It was common for people to gather around and attend lectures, and they would listen intently to one speak. And these people would be referred to as hearers. But then there would be a second type of person who would listen intently, but then follow the instructions of the teacher. And this person would be known as a disciple. And this is what our text calls a doer. And my friend, Jesus is looking for doers. He wants disciples, not just hearers. For the Bible was not given just to increase our knowledge, but rather to change our lives. It is never enough to just hear the word. We must apply it. Now, when you hear and receive God's word, it should elicit some kind of reaction. Now, picture a chemical reaction from your high school science days. When a certain chemical goes in, it creates a reaction. And this pictures what ought to happen when the word meets the well-prepared hearts. There will be an effect. Whether that be a changed belief, a refreshed delight in Jesus Christ, a new behavior, or an altered value system, true listening leads to action. It leads to obedience. Now, obedience and listening are really two sides of the same coin. In fact, they are really synonymous terms. It's rather interesting to consider the direct lexical link between hear and obey in both the Old and the New Testament. The Hebrew word for hear is sama. And this exact same word is used for obey. There is no separate word for obey or obedience in the Old Testament. And the Greek word for hear is akouo. And this can also be translated obey. But the predominant word used in the New Testament for obey is hupokouo. And this is what we call a compound word. You have hupo and akouo. It's the same stem. So there is a direct link here also in both the Old and the New Testament. Hearing and obedience are synonymous. They cannot be separated. In God's mind, hearing and obeying are one in the same. But there are also other texts scattered throughout the Bible that make this inseparable link between hearing and obeying. Exodus 15:26 says this: "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and wilt do it, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes." So there it is. Hearken to the voice and do. Give ear to his commandment and keep his statutes. Deuteronomy 6:3. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." Hear and observe to do it. Luke 6:47. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." In the words of Christ, "heareth my sayings and doeth them." My friend, it's abundantly clear that to be a true hearer, we must obey what we have heard. There is another link that I wish to point out, and that is between hearing, obedience, and love. The main motivation to listen and obey God's word is love for God. Remember the words of Jesus: "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now, when you truly love someone, you will listen intently to what they want you to do and then diligently do it. And the same is true with God. Our love for God is proven by obeying His word. And on the flip side, when we fail to respond to His word, when we don't apply it, It reveals a lack of love for God. You know, beloved, the scriptures are clear. Listening properly means obeying what we hear. You know, just as you expect a preacher to practice what he preaches, it's extremely hypocritical and dishonoring to God when a preacher fails to practice what he is telling you to do. But just as dishonoring and hypocritical towards God is when we as listeners fail to practice what we hear. Now, the seriousness of failing to be a doer is revealed in our text. It says here, you know, deceiving your own selves. You know, not being a doer results in self-deception. And this is the most dangerous type of deception. We end up deceiving or beguiling ourselves with our own misleading reasoning. We deceive our own souls if we think hearing is all that is required. If we suppose that by mere attendance and respectful attention to preaching that we have done all that is required of us, if that is our thinking, we are laboring in the most gross self-deception. We as believers are kidding ourselves if we think hearing is enough. That God will be pleased with the fact that we simply came and we listened and went home, that we ticked the preaching box for the week. My friend, that could not be further from the truth. Preaching is meant to change lives. True listening means applying God's word. It means obedience. Do not be deceived. But in some instances, this self-deception is even more serious. If one never responds to the word, the authenticity of one's faith must be questioned. Now, this is the seriousness of what we have before us. Now, one of the main points of the book of James is for the readers to make sure that their faith is genuine. Do you remember the second chapter? Show me your faith by your works. Now, and obeying the word is one of the greatest proofs that a person is an authentic believer. John MacArthur, in his commentary on this verse, said this: if a profession of faith does not result in a changed life that hungers and thirsts for God's word and desires to obey that word, the profession is only that, a mere profession. Satan, of course, loves such professions because they give church members the damning notion that they are saved when they are not. And beloved, this is the urgency of the issue that we are confronting this morning. Now, it's not my intention to cause you to unnecessarily doubt your salvation. I don't want to do that. But I wish to make the point that if this attitude of merely hearing and never responding, never obeying, never changing describes the consistent pattern in your life, then it questions your salvation. Because true believers will not be inwardly satisfied with merely knowing the word. For their conscience and the prompting, convicting work of the indwelling Spirit will push us to obey, to change, to conform. We are instructed that true listening will be followed by obedience. Hearing what is said, although very important, is not the end of our obligation, but a response needs to be forthcoming. Now, the purpose for preaching is to change us, not to merely increase our knowledge and understanding. But for this to happen, we must cooperate with the work of the indwelling Spirit and obey. This is the requirement. We must be a doer. Having given this instruction, James then goes on to give an illustration. And it's this that I want to consider secondly. And this is found in verses 23 through to 25, which says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. A very simple illustration that could be understood by all is employed to show the foolishness of hearing the word and yet not doing. The picture is painted of an individual who looks into a mirror. This look is not a casual glance, but rather a careful and cautious consideration. And this was needed due to the nature of mirrors at this particular time. They were typically made of highly polished brass or bronze and were very primitive compared to our modern glass mirrors. Consequently, those early mirrors gave a dim and disordered reflection. But by carefully turning it and finding the best light, a person eventually could see a fairly precise image of his face. And this is what James had in mind. By careful observation, he would eventually discover what he actually looked like. And today this is still the same purpose for the mirror, isn't it? One looks to see what needs to be fixed, what needs to be combed or straightened. You may need to change your clothes, brush your hair, have a shave, apply some makeup. This is all revealed by the mirror. And yet how foolish it would be to look into the mirror and see all that needs to be changed or altered and just shrug your shoulders and walk away and continue on in the day. This describes the one who is a mere hearer. They look into the mirror, sees that something needs attention, whether that be one's hair is really messy or they need a shave or there's sleep all through their eyes, and yet seeing these things and knowing they need to be fixed, they walk away. They forget what they saw. They take no action. And the key failure in this illustration is forgetting. Why he forgot, we are not told. But we do know that his careful consideration was now a waste of time because he went away without taking any action, quickly forgetting what was revealed to him. And my friend, this is what we do every time we hear a sermon and we fail to respond. Even if we come prepared and listen carefully, if we do not apply the truths discovered, if we do not change the error revealed, if we do not obey, we are just like the one who looks into that mirror and quickly forgets the image that he saw and fails to fix that which was revealed. We would question the sense and stability of one who looks into a mirror and yet ignores what is revealed. Who goes their way and forgets what they saw, perhaps arguing that it wasn't true. And yet it is this very thing that we do every time we hear a sermon preached and we walk away without doing a thing. The Word of God is like a mirror. In fact, it is described this way. And it reveals what we are like. And just like a mirror, it doesn't lie. The image it portrays is truthful, and often we won't like it. But how foolish it is to see what we look like, to have the Word through the work of the Spirit reveal to us what we need to do, the action that we need to take, and yet ignore it, forget it, fail to obey. And my friend, we must be careful, for when we continually ignore and forget what the Word has instructed us to do, our hearts will grow hard. We can quench the convicting work of the Spirit. Every time you hear a sermon, you are training yourself to either obey or disobey God, to soften your heart or harden your heart. There is no neutral ground. Someone has said, the same sun that melts butter hardens clay. And this is why it is of utmost importance that we become doers of the Word and not just hearers who forget quickly. We need to follow the example of the one who, in verse 25, looks intently and carefully into the Scriptures. And then he continues therein. He does not forget that which he hears, but rather puts it into practice. He responds. And we are told that this individual is blessed by God. And my friend, this will be the same for you too. If you are a doer of the word, you will be blessed abundantly. But the idea of forgetfulness is portrayed in both verse 24 and verse 25. One does forget and one doesn't. And this is really the key idea in these illustrations. Now, the one who hears but does not do it is one who quickly forgets, and it's this that we must avoid. And the secret to not forgetting, but rather becoming a doer, is to be in the consistent habit of meditation. For meditation is the bridge between interpretation and application. Now, the concept of meditating is found right throughout the Word of God. One thinks of Psalm 1 that describes the blessed man. He meditated in God's law day and night. Joshua was instructed to meditate in God's law also day and night. Day and night meaning constantly. And we need to be in this habit in order to make sure that we are doing the word. Now, unfortunately, the concept of meditation has been somewhat ruined by false religions, which teach that meditation is solely an emptying process. But biblical meditation is an attempt to empty the mind of the wrong things and to fill it with that which is right and true according to God's word. Now, meditation could be defined as the act of focusing one's thoughts, to ponder, to dwell upon, to muse over. It consists of reflective thinking or contemplation. Now, we go over and over a biblical truth or concept or commandment in our minds. You know, an illustration that got taught to me when I was younger is the cow chewing the cud. They chew, they swallow, they bring it back up and they chew it again, striving to get all of the nutrients. And the goal of meditation is to internalize and personalize the scripture so that its truth affects how we think, it affects our attitudes, it affects how we live. Now, after the preacher has finished speaking, if we are to be a doer and not a forgetful hearer, it is of utmost importance that we spend much time in meditation, that we muse over the sermons in our minds, that we dig deeper, and that we do not stop pondering until the truths revealed have been internalized and personalized, you know, until the sermon has affected or changed how we think, behave, or act. You know, the sermon does not finish when the preacher says, "Amen." It is then that the work for the hearer really begins. It is then that meditation and obedience are required. Now, may we not be mere hearers of the word, but may we, with God's help, be doers of the word. Be obedient. And may we stop allowing sermons to go in one ear and out the other. For if we continue to allow this to happen, it will harden our hearts. And I fear that there are far too many Christians who mark their Bible, but their Bible does not mark them. Now, what a difference it would make if all who heard the word preached on Sunday put it into practice throughout the week. And this, my friend, is what our God expects from us. And He will help us to do this, and He will bless us abundantly if we do it. Now, may we, in the words of Christ, hear the word of God and keep it, and hence be men and women who build their house on the rock rather than the foolish one who builds their house on the sand. Let's be doers of the word. Amen.